Let me just say this, and I want us to position ourselves this morning. You know, God is the giver of grace, right? We depend on His grace. We need His grace. We need to live by grace, right? And so God gives His grace, but He has these little instruments, tools of grace that are called means of grace that He uses to pass grace on to us. You all familiar with the term means of grace? When you are at home and you take the Bible and you pray and say, God, teach me your word, and you begin to read your Bible, that's a means of grace. God imparts grace that way, right? When you get on your knees or go for a walk and pray and communicate to God, that's a means by which God communicates His grace. Some of you are familiar with having times where you fast and pray and seek the Lord. That's a means of grace where God uses that as an instrument to bring grace. Are we together on this? You understand what I'm saying? The preaching of the Word of God is a means of grace. And it's kind of this dual activity that goes on. I stand up here by faith, realizing I'm just nothing more than an earthen vessel, right? I'm just a Chris Peeler. And there ain't much impressive about that. Believe me, I know. I live with them, all right? And so I stand here by faith to open my mouth about the Word of God. You sit there by faith, and this is what I want to challenge you to do. Let's not just do church today. Let's not just do our, and listen to the nice sermon, and let's not do that. Instead, let's position ourselves in faith, believing that God uses this as a means of grace to impart grace so that we can grow in grace. Are you with me? And so it becomes really a moment and a time of excitement because God is in the midst using that to make something happen in us. Right? Yes. So that's what I want us to pray for. I'm going to have you pray. But before I do, let me say this. We're going to talk today about how God uses everything and wastes nothing in your life to work and fashion and do things just the way He wants to, in His amazing way, to create in you who He wants you to be, and so that He can use your life to bless those around you. That's what we're going to talk about. And as we do, we're going to kind of move toward the point where we say, God is not only doing that for you, but He's doing it so you can be a vessel for them out there. Because you know what about them out there? They're perishing. They don't know Jesus. And if they die not knowing Jesus and they die in their sins, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. And we, the church, while we are certainly concerned about what's going on in our little worlds and we need God here, God wants us to continually be expanding our vision to out there. So as He's doing this for us here, we become these conduits of His grace so the grace flows out of us to them out there. Because they are perishing and they need the gospel. And we get the opportunity to go with that gospel in the love of Christ and pass it on. So, having said that, I want you now to pray. And I'm just going to say 1, 2, 3, go. And each of you, you pray to the Lord for yourself and ask Him to use this means of grace to do exactly in your life what He wants you to do. All right, we're just going to, just 30 seconds of lifting our voices, each of you crying out to God. You have need, don't you? Just like I have need. And we're going to ask Him by faith to do that thing that He wants to do and we need Him to do. All right, ready? All right, 1, 2, 3, go for it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father God, just pray. God, move. Move by your Spirit, Lord. Move by your Spirit, Lord. God, move by your Spirit, Lord. We so desperately need you. Desperately need you, Lord. Desperately need you. God, have your way. Have your work. Have your work, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name. Oh, God, move, Lord, here by your Spirit, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. Amen. Please have a seat. Linda and I are with my children, and we have some of them who are fighting the stomach bug at home. But we just thank you for receiving us so warmly. And we feel like it is a home away from home. I had an opportunity to be with John sitting in his office on Monday and talking together, fellowshipping, praying for each other. What a blessing your pastor is. The opportunity of having Matt and Laura join us at the Annapolis Mall on Friday night as we were out there with those who were perishing, preaching the gospel. And God's doing great things, right? Matt and Laura, it's an amazing thing. Let me just tell you real quickly, not this past Friday night, but the one before, we went out and we spread out. We had 45 people go into the mall to preach the gospel to people. And we went out and we talked and we preached the whole gospel to over 70 people that night, 70 individuals or little groups of people. And on the way home, my daughter Charity gets a text. And the text is from one of the 15-year-old girls she had been speaking to about Jesus in the mall. And the girl saying, "You have so affected my life. I think you've saved me." Or she said, she didn't know the lingo to use. And then she got a text from another one of the girls. And there's this back and forth. They were transfixed. They're blind. They don't know. And they hear the gospel. And for those who are moving toward eternal life, it's life. It's the smell of life, right? For those who are perishing, it's the smell of death. And then we're home and Faith starts getting texts from these 12-year-old girls that she had been witnessing to. And they're saying, "We can't stop talking about this. We're reading this book and we can't stop reading this book you gave us." And they get on the phone at midnight last week talking about the gospel, talking about Jesus. And then this past Friday night, they were communicating. Angela, the girl, shows up at the mall and once, and Faith gets to be with her and talk with her again. It's a wonderful thing. Please continue to pray for us. Right now, I want to rivet our attention to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, there in your notes. Let me read it, and you read silently while I read it out loud. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." God's providential care in the midst of life's troubles or life's struggles. Now, how many of you would say, over the last weeks, you've had some struggles? How many of you are dealing with some troubles? All right, the good news that I bring you today is that our God is a providential God, meaning this, that He is at work in the midst of it all, using it all, even ordaining it all, to bring about good in us and to bring about glory for His name, which is going to be the first point we talk about. This little passage in Genesis 50 about Joseph. You all know the story of Joseph, don't you? This is a remarkable statement. Jacob has died. And the brothers who sold Joseph into slavery felt secure while Jacob was alive because they thought, "There's no way Joseph will kill us while Dad's alive." But when Jacob died, they really got afraid. They said, "That's it. We're done now." And they start panicking and figuring out ways to talk to Joseph. Why? You all know the story, right? When Joseph was a young boy, he had a dream. His brothers would bow down to him. He was foolish enough to broadcast the dream, right? And his brothers said, "Oh, that's great, Joseph." No, they didn't. They were quite upset. And then Jacob loved Joseph, gave him this coat, and you can just picture the envy and the hatred for Joseph simmering in these brothers. You can picture he was the young guy on the totem pole and having a big family with A lot of children, I understand that like never before, what that's like for those down in the lower end of the totem pole. And Joseph, you can imagine when dad and mom were looking the other way, the big brothers were poking him, or they didn't like him. And they finally get their opportunity, right? Because they're out with their sheep or whatever, and Jacob sends Joseph out to bring them some stuff. They get him, they say, let's take that dreamer and kill him. And Reuben says, no, let's not kill him. Or one of Judah, I think, said, no, let's throw him in this pit. And they throw him in a pit, and then they sell him into slavery, right? And then they took his coat, tore it, put blood on it, and went back and lied to Jacob. Incredible. It's just evil what they did. It was very evil. Jacob gets sold into slavery. And he quickly, God's hands on him, and he rises to the top in Potiphar's house, right? And things are looking okay now. Okay, God, you're with me. And I'm still smarting from my brothers and not knowing how to deal with that. But look at what's happening here. And then Potiphar's wife accuses him of attempted rape. And Potiphar believes it and throws him into prison. So it's boom, 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 and he's in prison. But in prison, God's hands on Joseph. He begins to rise to the top. Things are looking better, and he meets the butler and the baker. They have dreams. He tells them the dreams, what the dreams meant. Sorry, baker. Sorry, 3 days, buddy, your head's going off, right? But butler, 3 days, you're going to be restored. Don't forget me. Please remember me. Tell them about me. Tell them I'm okay. And the butler says, you got it. The butler gets restored and completely forgets about Joseph. 2 years, he's still in prison. Do you think God just forgot about Joseph? No, listen. God was doing stuff in Joseph's life in prison that could never have been done anywhere else. And I'm here to tell you, there are things that God purposes to do in your life in the midst of problems and struggles that aren't going to be able to be accomplished anywhere else. That's God. That's the way God works. And 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And he doesn't know what to do. And then the butler remembers. There's this guy that knows about dreams. And they get Joseph out. Joseph interprets the dream. And he is placed as second in command over all of Egypt. And we know the story. And then God, the famine comes, and because Joseph's there, he's able to save all of his family, right? So God does this great thing in Joseph, but it's not just for Joseph's good, it's for everybody else's good. All right, that sets the stage for this first point I want you to look at in your notes. God is big. Everybody say that. Okay, God is big. God is so big that we can't even imagine how big God is. God is able to be working in 6 billion people's lives all at the same time, perfectly, without even straining. He's that big. And that's what he does. God is big, and he works all things according to his good pleasure, which he purposes in himself for his glory and for our good. Let that encourage you today. That's our God. He's not asleep, nor is he wringing his hands saying, oh no, look what John did now. What am I going to do now? Let me give you a secret. It's not really a secret. God even uses your failures in his providence for your good and for his glory. He is so gracious and so kind. And I know that's true because of the way he's used my failures. Now let me ask you, when I say God works all things according to his good pleasure for his glory, when you get up in the morning, let me ask you, are you thinking, wow, God's got an agenda today. God's got his stuff he wants to do today. And do you get up and say, oh, here I am reporting for duty, sir. What's your agenda? That's the kind of approach God... But too many of us get up in the morning and hardly get up. And what we're thinking is, God, me, me, me. Is that right? God, it's all about me. Right? Do you know that song? You never heard that song, "It's All About You"? It's all about you, Jesus. All this is for you, for your glory and your fame. And then what's the next line? It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to your way. Right? Right? That is the proper approach, because God, it's really truly all about Him, and your life is all about Him, and your life is for Him. And so God is not going to bow. It's like the little child running into the room, and it's, "Me, I want this, me want this, me want that." God, and we do that in an adult way, right? Is that true? Don't we? God, I want, God, I want. And our prayers can be very self-centered, except for you, right, Mark?
No, not exactly.
Okay. God is not going to go, "Oh, you poor little thing," and, you know, He's going to love us. But we must remember, God is running a universe, right? And God is running humanity. And God has an agenda, and His agenda is the saving of the nations. And God intends to use you and work in your life in such a way that you're going to be taken up in Him and be used to accomplish His purposes.